What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Breaking Football and Inside the Podline, and you can also find me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. I'm here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Shell-shocked, my friend. I mean, just stonewalled.
What is going on?
We were about to hit record on the podcast this evening, and I'm opening up my phone, just doing a last check, making sure it's on silent so it doesn't interrupt anything. And I see that the Eagles have traded fan favorite, America's Got Talent hero, John Dornbos is a New Orleans Saint for a 2019 seventh round pick. And I know my man Mike is incredibly salty because the NFL draft this year, Mike, you got John's autograph, didn't you?
Yes, I did. He was one of the 3 people that I wanted to make sure that I got because his backstory is incredible. And dude, just like a super cool dude in person. I mean, I only met him for like a quick, 15, 20 seconds while he was signing the football, but the guy was nicer than anything. I cannot believe that we would trade such a fixture of the organization for a seventh round pick in 2019. I mean, are those worth more than what I'm imagining, Ben? Help me here.
Right. That's my main confusion here is, and you don't fix what ain't broke. And the exchanges between John Dornbos and whoever's holding the ball for field goals and the punter, with Donnie Jones, they have not been broken since he's been an Eagle since like 2005, I think it's been. Like Dornbos is just, we've never once had to even spend a second thinking about our long snapping until he got injured that one game. And then we had Trey Burton and Michael Kendricks throwing balls around left and right. And new long snapper Rick Lovato, I'm sure he's good at his job because he's an NFL long snapper. But I don't see them. I mean, okay, I'm watching my words here because the next thing you know, that 2019 seventh round pick is going to turn into a 2019 sixth round pick, which turns into a fourth round pick, which turns into some player that we all end up loving because that's the way that this organization will work. And that's just my luck. But no, I don't understand why you mess with this system like this. I don't see the value.
I want to pour one out. I've got a beer right here, and I'm pouring one out from a man, John Dornbos. Man, it was a good run. Glad to have you in Philly. And hope you come back. Please come back.
I mean, you always thought he'd retire an Eagle. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back on that one-day contract to do so. But just, what a man, what a representative of this organization, for the big stage that he got and for the platform that he held. He was always super, into the troops and supporting those who are overseas, and he was always involved in good organizations. Just what a guy. So John Dornbos will miss you a ton. God willing, you snap well in New Orleans and Rick Lovato snaps well here. We don't have to worry about long snapping, the most absurd, obscure part of the NFL. But, all the luck to him in his new home in New Orleans.
So if you didn't think that me and Ben really cared about this Philadelphia Eagles football team, put that aside because we are freaking out over here about John Dornbos, and you should be too, because that is the guy that you want in your ball club, stand-up guy. So again, that's so unfortunate. But hey, man, we got that sweet, sweet 2019 seventh-round pick to worry about. I'm sure we'll package that into something, and we are going to move right into the topic that we were supposed to be talking about before this bombshell hit, and that is camp battles. 53-man projection for the offensive side of the football. Tomorrow we are going to do defense, and we're going to kick it right off with the quarterback situation. The way I had it, Ben, is Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, and then I think Dane Evans lands on the practice squad. How'd you have it?
Yeah, if they can get Evans through onto the practice squad, I absolutely think that's something that they'll look to do, just because he's popped in camp as far as, having a live arm, the ability to really, deliver the ball on time in tight windows. He's the sort of, when you look at like your backup and your third stringer, your question isn't, oh, does he fit what my first stringer does? It's, can I run an offense through this guy for like 2 games, right? Can I just put something on the field that he can run? And with Dane Evans, I think, yes, you can. And so I'd love to see him in the practice squad. Right, I've got Foles in the backup spot. Obviously, you know, there's been a storyline around Foles and this elbow soreness. You know, Doug Peterson's really been trying to underplay it in a lot of his press conferences, you know, talking about, you know, just kind of limiting the reps, you know, just making sure that they're not taxing him to a level that's too extreme, you know, kind of just saying it's more of a soreness thing. But the fact that it keeps popping up for Foles has to be a matter of concern. I know, I'm pretty sure he was able to get to practice today. Yeah, he was able to turn to practice, which is a great sign, but it's definitely something you have to keep an eye on moving forward. In the event that he isn't good to be the backup, I mean, you've either got McGloin, who maybe, you know, maybe you keep him there, maybe you have to stash Foles on a PUP list or on IR, God forbid, you know, depending on what's good with his elbow. But it'll be interesting to see how they handle that backup quarterback situation in the event that Foles is in a go for week one. And then obviously, you know, locked and loaded, your first round draft pick from 2016, Carson Wentz, man.
It will be interesting if Foles is not ready to go, because you kind of want your backup to be a veteran guy that can step right in and manage the offense. And Dane has played well, but I'm not sure he's necessarily ready for that. And I'm not too excited about the prospect of putting McGloin out there. So we'll see how that goes as we move throughout the week.
Yeah, I agree. Quick hitter for you, Mike. Nick Foles, top five backup quarterback in the NFL, yay or nay?
I would go with yay, for sure. Yeah,
right,
I thought he was solid.
Yeah, I Ruben Frank was having a conversation on Twitter, and it just popped into my mind because I agree. I think Foles is a top five backup. I think he's a low tier starter on other teams in the league for sure. I just want to get your thoughts. We're as per usual, we are on the same page here on Locked On Eagles.
That's right, and let's see if we keep that going on with running backs. So what I've got is LeGarrette Blount, Darren Sproles, obviously, the man never ages. Wendell Smallwood, even though he hasn't really seen a whole lot of action this preseason, Deuce Daly was saying that he's looked fantastic in camp. It's a matter of staying healthy with him. And then, you know, we're not going to try to put Pumphrey on a practice squad or anything like that. We traded up to go get him, so Corey Clement would be my odd man out. Do you have it the same way?
Absolutely, 4 for 4. And I think on Smallwood's point, for a guy with the injury history that Smallwood has, he wasn't super available during preseason games, but I'm kind of fine with that because I don't think he's going to be expected to put on a full workload, you know, a full like workhorse running back sort of situation. And in his small spurts of playing time, he's very bursty, he's very quick, he has good vision, he hits the hole, he does what you want him to do. And I like what Smallwood brings to the table as far as a piece of a rotation. Now, are the other pieces of the rotation around Smallwood what you want to see? There's arguments to be had there as far as, you know, do you have enough muscle between Blount, Sproles, and Pumphrey to actually, you know, fill up all the carries that are necessary? You know, that's a debate to be had. But for those, you know, who are curious about Smallwood's future, I really think even if the running backs around him move, Smallwood is the exact sort of guy you want as a 1B back. And just because we don't have a 1A doesn't mean we're going to get rid of that 1B. We're going to try to keep that 1B and then I think acquire a 1A at some point in the future.
This has been thrown around by some guys at Bleeding Green Nation, I think specifically John Bouchard. Well, what do you think of the possibility of either Pumphrey or Clement getting a phantom injury that would put them on IR, which would make them easier for us to keep?
If you're going to do that, if you're going to use one of your IR spots in that way, okay, you got to be sold on Clement for sure. If you're going to be throwing Pumphrey on the IR and then, you know, bringing Clement to the active squad, you've got to really buy in. And as we've alluded to, we've discussed, I like what Clement brings to the table. He's had a great preseason. Is it enough to push what was a pretty solidly decided four-man rotation coming into training camp? In my opinion, no, because I think that Clement, like I think about, you know, all the other fourth string running backs that Philadelphia Eagle fans have fallen in love with over the time, right? I think about, you know, I just watched Raheem Mostert run a 78-yard screen pass for a touchdown in San Fran, and I remember when we all wanted to keep the, you know, 60-yard dash Purdue champion. I think about Terrell Watson. He's in Pittsburgh now, threatening their rotation, and when he was in our rotation, we wanted to keep him. With the state of the running back position in today's NFL, I just don't think Clement is as rare of a guy and as rare of a talent as others do, such that he might be kept on the roster, because I just don't think he's that valuable. And it's not to diminish what Clement does. He's a good runner. He plays well. There's a spot for him on NFL practice squads and NFL rosters, hopefully in his future. I firmly believe that. But is it enough to take an undrafted free agent and roster him when you, as you said, traded up a fourth round pick for another guy, even if that guy hasn't blown away in the preseason? I simply don't think so.
I got a buddy of mine, Damo. Shout out to him. He's from an old Madden league of mine. He just texted me the other day. He was like, Byron Marshall is better than than Pumphrey. What do you think about that?
I think Byron Marshall plays in the same role that Pumphrey does. I think when you watch Pumphrey play against second stringers and you watch Byron Marshall play against third stringers, Byron Marshall looked better. And I think that there's a reason Byron Marshall stuck around on this team for a couple, for more than a year. It's because he's a good player, but he's not as talented as Pumphrey is. And you can look to two preseason games as your sample size for that. But, you know, I've got enough collegiate tape to throw back at you.
All right, Damo. Benjamin Solak says that's false.
You seem like a nice guy, though, Damo. How are you doing? It's good to meet you.
We're going to move on to wide receiver. How I have it is Alshon Jeffrey, Aguilar obviously makes the team. Torrey Smith obviously makes the team. Mac Hollins, Marcus Johnson, who we've talked about. And I think they might keep a sixth. And the rumor out there, I think Adam Kaplan said that from people inside the building, Greg Ward Jr. is the dark horse to stick on the roster. What would you think about that as far as him being our sixth wide receiver?
If you've recently joined Locked On Eagles, you may not be aware. My brand goes in this order. It goes Danelle Pumphrey, and then it goes Rasul Douglas. And then probably you throw Jordan Hicks, Nigel Bradham in there. I'm big on those guys. There's probably a couple others in there. But the full depth of my brand, when you get right down to the bottom of brand, you find Greg Ward Jr., undrafted free agent, quarterback turned wide receiver out of Houston. I just love... I remember watching him at Houston and thinking to myself, man, when this kid transitions to wide receiver at the next level, it's going to be so much fun to watch and to see how he does. And when the Eagles picked him up, I was all about it. I said, let's do it. Here we go. And he has impressed. So if Greg Ward makes it, do I think that's the best decision to keep a sixth wide receiver and make it Greg Ward? I mean, if they think so, okay, that probably wouldn't be my move. I've only got five wide receivers rostered. It's the five you listed and without Greg Ward. But will I be insufferable on social media? Absolutely. I will not let any of you forget it for as long as I live. Greg Ward is brand.
In that scenario, neither of us have Shelton Gibson making it, and I think with good cause.
Shelton is a guy that you bring in and you say, you know, you have one incredibly dynamic ability. And if you can perform to that dynamic ability, you will always have a spot on an NFL roster. Look at Bryce Treggs. Bryce Treggs has one dynamic ability. Mm-hmm. And because he has it, he was able to bounce from San Francisco to Philadelphia and find a spot here. The other side of that double-edged sword says, if you can't do that one thing, you have nothing else on which you can fall back. And that's what Gibson is experiencing. I'm sure he'll bounce around somewhere else, you know, God willing. You know, we all hope and pray that he, you know, regains his stride, maybe in a new uniform in a new setting. But if Gibson can't catch the football deep, then he can't do anything for an NFL team.
I did his report for BreakingFootball.com, and I pretty much agree with all of that. If he can't catch the football, I mean, in college, he was fantastic tracking the deep ball. But, you know, you get to another level and you get stone hands, you're going to have a bad time.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week, whether it's Steelers against Patriots or Bears against the Lions. Well, let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payout. Seriously, it's just two business days. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code LOEagles, that's LOEagles, to activate your offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So we'll move right on to tight ends. Obviously, the people that are locks are going to be Zach Ertz, Brent Celek, and Trey Burton. The discussion is out there that it's possible that we keep Billy Brown. I say that we don't, and hopefully we can get him on the practice squad. What do you think about Billy Brown there, Ben?
Billy Brown is your exact sort of practice squad candidate because he's that guy who's got like that massive size and he's got promising hands and he has that athletic frame where maybe he could be a good blocker. But because he spent his college career at Shepherd University, which for those of you who don't know, none of us know anything about Shepherd University, obviously. It's Shepherd University.
And weirdly, they do not have any shepherd's pie there. I've tried.
There's so much potential for him to grow. And so you'd love to put a guy like that in the practice squad. And I think the Eagles will definitely attempt to. Looking at this tight end roster, though, with Ertz and with Selk and with Burton, the reason I feel comfortable throwing five wide receivers on the depth chart instead of six is because of the slot effects you're going to get from guys like Ertz, guys like right. Burton, who, you know, Burton, remember, is you know, fiddled around with changing to wide receiver last offseason. And then you've also got Sproles and Pump, who are going to see slot reps as well. And so looking at this roster, you're only rostering five wide receivers, and there's obviously, you know, that's a moment of concern in the event that you take on some injuries. But looking at the running back and the tight end roster, I think you have a plethora of pass catchers here for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, there were stretches where I thought Trey Burton could have been our wide receiver one and we would have been better off. So I'm with you on that one. So you didn't have Billy Brown making it on the final roster, is that correct?
No, I didn't. I could see him being a dark horse candidate. If it happens, it happens, but I don't think it will.
Okay. I agree there. All right. So for the offensive line, we'll go Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelce, Siamalu, Peters, obviously all making it. I would also say that Wisniewski and Bytai are definite locks. I would also say that Dylan Gordon and Chance Warmack make the team. That would put me at 9. Also, Taylor Hart would be a name to watch. What do you think of the offensive line making the team here?
Yeah, I think we're 9 for 9 there. I think with Big V and Dylan Gordon in front of him, it's going to be hard for Taylor Hart because Big V and Dylan Gordon, neither of them have much potential at guard. Neither of them are that guard tackle swing. We traded those guys. We traded away Barber. We traded away Tobin. And so you've got to assume that you're rostering Big V, and Dylan Gordon has showed enough promise, and the coaching staff has invested enough in him that you assume he'll make the roster. Now you've got three interior positions, one of which is fitted by a guy who, you know, Jason Kelce, who's not necessarily the strongest performer. You need to make sure you acquire depth there. And so you're going to bring in a guy like Wisniewski who can do center and guard, who obviously you extended this offseason, and a guy like Warmack, who, you, even though he's underperformed a little bit, you went out and got him this offseason, and that kind of leaves Taylor Hart the odd man out. So you'd love to see Taylor Hart make it on the roster as a developmental offensive tackle, but I think because you don't have the interior line depth and that swing tackle ability, that swing guard tackle sort of stuff that you once had, I don't think there's room for Taylor Hart on this roster.
It's hard to make a case for him, and it looks like the staff is fully behind Big V.
Halapuli Vati Vaitai.
We're going to get through this. Halapuli Vati Vaitai.
Is that there close? There it is. Yeah, but you got to add a little bit of like the attitude to it. Like Halapuli Vati Vaitai. It's got like a little head bob to it.
Well, Halapuli Vati Vaitai. Boom. There it is.
Yeah. Money in the bank.
last thing I want to say, man, if you really want to be a good magician, you got to focus on your craft. That's a little shout out to John Dorenbos. We're going to miss you, brother. Ben, you got anything else for us?
I will never forget the John Dorenbos Memorial Podcast, man. It is a dark time for all of us. We're here for you. If you need us, reach out at Locked On Eagles. You know, we'll take your calls. We'll listen. We'll bring you through this difficult time for all of us.
And that's going to do it for us. If you need more bad magic puns, remember, you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.